Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show. A practical show dedicated to helping you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it. No tinfoil hat thinking on this show. I just try to keep things rooted in common sense. Thanks for listening. This is episode 130 of today's Survival Show. Folks, you know what? You keep listening, and I just keep putting out the shows, and I very much appreciate you downloading and taking your time to talk about basic preparedness. And, you know, sometimes we get into issues that are not so basic, but the overall theme of this is sticking to the fundamentals. Now, I would like to share a couple of ideas with you and get you to think about some things here before I get into the main topic. This little brief segment that I'm doing here right before the main topic starts, this is not the main topic. This is just some random thoughts that I had on preparedness. First of all, I want to talk about Egypt and what's going on there right now. You know, as I'm recording this right now, it's February the 12th on Friday. February 11th. On Friday. Anyway, you know, just recently, Hosni Mubarak, the president of Egypt, has decided, no, he's not going to step down. He's transferring some of his authority over to the vice president there in Egypt, whatever that means. I don't know. But some things I think we can learn from this, and there's some things from a survival standpoint that I want to point out here. I'm not trying to make this show political. Folks, you know what? I don't like this to be a political show. So don't take this as my attempt at injecting a political opinion. That's not what it is. But, you know, what we see here in the country of Egypt going on right now, if you think about it, this is a great example of people trying to take control of their government. And that's what we have here in the United States. You know, I have international listeners that tune into this. And one of the things that we're proud of here in the United States is the people are supposed to have control of the government. In other words, you know, the government answers to us. And I think that's what the Egyptians are looking for. Would you agree? They just want the government to answer to them. All right, that's just called the representative democracy, or representative republic is actually the type of government that we have here in the United States. A representative republic. That's what they want over there in Egypt. Can you blame them? Can you blame them at all? You know, but one of the things, one of the lessons that we should learn from that is I think that could happen just about anywhere. And how does it impact us? How does it impact us living in other countries, people who are not from Egypt? I don't think I have anybody from Egypt listening to this show. So I can talk about people that are not from Egypt, and you know, it's going to be 99.999% of my listeners, probably. So I think one of the great lessons we can learn from that, from what's going on over there in Egypt, is that you do have a great amount of control over your own destiny. And by the way, folks, I am driving, so if you hear a little noise in the background, that's my GPS yakking at me. I'm headed out to a business appointment, as I often do when I do these podcasts. Anyway, you have more control over your own destiny than people probably like to make you believe. And that's the thing, that's the important thing here. And here we have a country like Egypt. And they're demonstrating that. They're demonstrating that to the rest of the world. So how does this tie into preparedness? Well, I think it means that you have a great deal of control over your own life that maybe you aren't quite taking advantage of. A lot of you know that I was trained many years ago, by Tom Hopkins, a primary motivator and sales trainer, one of the best in the world. He's kind of semi-retired right now. But I received a lot of training from him because I worked for him for 7 years. And one of the things that I learned, one of the lessons that I've taken from that will always be with me, is that I do have a great deal of control over my own destiny. Yes, folks, there's some things we can't control. You're not going to get any argument from me on that. Yes, there's definitely things that we cannot control. See, part of being a survivor is being able to react and being able to be proactive. In other words, anticipating what might come. Could there be unrest? Like what's going on in Egypt right now? Could there be unrest like that here in the United States? Or if you're listening to me from Europe? Or if you're listening to me from Australia? I recently got an email from somebody from Brazil that listens to me. So could there be that type of unrest in your country? Sure. Absolutely. To think... Sorry, folks, I'm battling a little bit of a cold there. I started coughing a bit. To think that that type of thing cannot happen in your country is naive. And I think naivety is one of the worst qualities that a person can have. And it's you see that in a lot of people who are just not prepared. One of the reasons why they're not prepared is they're naive. They're like an ostrich. They got their head stuck in the sand. Oh, this could never happen to us over here. Yeah, right. Americans are some of the worst. Americans are some of the most naive people in the world, I think. Many of them are. How many of you know somebody that's just so naive, right? Do you know somebody like that? Don't you want to just kind of shake them and wake them up and say, come on, get with it. I can think of some of my family members like that. I can think of some friends that I have that are like that. I try to stick around and hang around people that are more, you know, in tune with things and are more preparedness-minded folks. But, you know, the old saying, we can't choose our family and we have to deal with them. So do you have somebody in your life that you know that's naive and they walk around thinking, oh, it can't happen to me, you know, or the government will take care of us? Over there in Egypt, why do you think that these people are doing that? Probably because they're fed up. They're just absolutely fed up. And you know what's interesting is they've got a couple of people, or a couple of different factions that are in control of their government. The military is in control of a large part of the Egyptian government. And then, of course, you know, you got President Mubarak that's in charge. And now you got a third person, the vice president over there in Egypt. So you got so many people that have hands in the pie. And one of the problems is the citizens of the country there don't have much of a say. And they're trying to take it back. I actually applaud what the people of Egypt, I applaud what they're doing. I don't applaud what the president of that country is doing. Now, I know that they've been a great ally to the United States, so those of you who are into this sort of thing, those of you who are into all this, you know, politics stuff and everything, you're probably going to say to me, oh, Bob, guess what? You know what? They've been a great ally of ours. Sure. Yeah, they've been a great ally of ours, of course. But they're messed up. So, my message here is that a revolution needs to take place. Now, before people start looking at me as a radical, oh my God, did he really say that? A revolution? Yes, I said that. I don't mean a revolution as in violence. I don't mean that, folks. Please don't put that label on me. I'm not one of these people that calls for violent revolution. There needs to be a revolution that takes place inside of you. You've got to say to yourself, look, self, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I am not going to allow people to control me. I am going to control the factors that I can control. Now, there are some things you can control and some you can't. It always reminds me of the Serenity Prayer. God grant me the wisdom to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change those things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Isn't that great? I mean, you just think about that for a while. I mean, you know, first of all, it's wisdom. God grant me the wisdom to accept the things I cannot change. We have to learn to accept things we cannot change. It doesn't mean we have to agree with them, but we have to accept them. And then it's courage to change the things that we can. You see, that's what's going on in Egypt right now. They have the courage. They have the courage to change the things that they can. And then the wisdom to know the difference. You see, wisdom. Wisdom is where, I think that's where we, as a survivalist, as a preparedness-minded person, I think we need to have wisdom. We need to learn to gain it. We need to learn from each other because there are things that you cannot change. And if you have that wisdom to know the difference, if you have the wisdom to say, hey, you know what? This is something that really is beyond my control. So don't invest much time in it. And I guess that's one of the messages I want to communicate here before I get into the main topic. Where are you investing your time? Learn the wisdom to know the difference of what you can change and what you cannot change, and invest your time into what you can change in your own life. If it's money, well, you know what, folks? Most of the time, or a good portion of the time, you can change your financial situation. You might say, Bob, I'm not making enough money. I can't. It doesn't matter if you're not making enough money. How much are you spending? What are your expenses? The secret, folks, to living well financially is not so much what you make, but it's how much you spend. Now, I realize you have to have a certain income level to survive. But also, how much is going out the door? If those two are in balance, and it's a very simple concept, folks. You know, why is it confusing to so many people, especially Americans? Why is the concept of spending less than what you make? Why is that strange to some people? Think about that. Spend less than you make. I mean, that's pretty basic, right? I mean, it's kind of simple. It doesn't get much simpler than that. I'm going to break it down pretty much to the ridiculous. But it's true. It's true, isn't it? Spend less than what you make. I guarantee your financial future will turn around drastically and quickly if you spend less than what you make. I'll just let you think about that. I'll just kind of leave that for you to ponder for a while. I got a little bit off topic there, but that's okay. I think the survival lessons and the preparedness lessons that we can learn from what's going on abroad right now, from what's going on over in Egypt, I think is that it's important, folks, that you take control of your own destiny. And that's, you know, God bless those people over there, because I don't agree with everything that they do. I don't agree with everything that that country stands for. There's some things, you know, that I'm not real high on when it comes to Egypt. However, I will say I very much admire what the body of the people are trying to do over there, because they're fed up. And folks, I'm fed up about what's going on here in the United States. I really am. I'm not calling for rioting in the streets and uprising and everything. I'm not calling for that at all. That's not what I think that we should be doing here in the United States right now. However, I do think that if more people take control over their own lives, if less people become dependent on the government, if less people become dependent on the system, I think that will begin to change things. Because I think one of the reasons why we have the government that we have, and so some of you listening to me from other countries, if you have a government in your country that has too much control, it's because you let them. It's because people are too dependent on government services. And so basically, the government is in power because they know you're dependent. They promise you services. Sometimes you don't get them. In fact, lots of times you don't get them, right? Do any of you know a politician that promises and promises and promises and never delivers? Right? We all know, all of them. That's 100% of them, right? They promise, promise, promise to get elected and get in power, and they don't deliver. It's because government is not supposed to be the answer. But there's too many people in the world, in every country, that want government to be the answer. They want somebody to take care of them, and they don't want to take care of themselves. You see, if a transformation took place in people, if people transformed their attitudes and their lives and said, I'm going to take control of my own life. And, you know, folks, I'm a man of faith. I am. In fact, I am a Christian. Now, I don't profess that, you know, that you have to be a Christian in order to be a survivalist. This, you know, all religions are welcome on today's survival show and on our forum and everything. So, folks, please, it doesn't matter to me what your religion is. I just happen to be a Christian, and my faith teaches me that, you know, God is going to help me with many of the things in my life. He is going to help me, and I do have faith that He will. I also believe that with the free will I have to use it to take care of me and to take care of my family, and use it to the best of my ability, and use my talents that I have. See, and I think another survival lesson that we can learn is, are you using your talents to the best of your ability? Are you maximizing them? And if you do that, you become less dependent. You become less dependent on the system. Then you're less likely to vote for some politician who's promising you the world, and you know he's not going to deliver. Think about that. The less dependent people become, the less likely they are to go vote for some pinhead politician. I'm going to go ahead and borrow a phrase from Bill O'Reilly. Some pinhead politician that promises, 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 and doesn't deliver. You're not going to need that person. If you're self-sufficient, if you're prepared, and you're taking care of yourself and your family, and you're keeping your faith strong, you don't need some politician that's promising you the world, that says, I'm going to take care of you and give you everything you want. And that's the problem right there. We have too many people like that all over the world, not just in the United States, but everywhere. That's my personal opinion. So take it for what it's worth. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and cover a couple of announcements real quick, and then we'll get into the main topic. I want to give out the website, which is www.todayssurvival.com. That's todayssurvival.com. Please become a member of our forum. Don't forget, we have an excellent forum, folks. It's a great learning experience. There's excellent people there that have unique ideas. I'm a member of about 7 or 8 different forums, and I learn from every forum that I get on. Yeah, every once in a while you got strange people on a forum. Sure. You know, folks, just be secure. Be secure and know yourself and know that, you know what, don't let those people bother you. They're just people that like to just pontificate on the internet. We don't have a whole lot of those in our forum. Me and the moderators, we kind of police that pretty well. But, you know, you're welcome to post anything you want. All I ask is just don't attack people. Don't post personal attacks and everything, and you'll be fine. But it's a great group of people. We like to be open-minded and share ideas. Join our forum. There's a forum button at the website of todayssurvival.com. Okay? I also want to announce something. And as I announce this, I want to tell you an example of something that just recently happened not too far from my house. About 5 miles away from my house yesterday, a man got shot near his own home. It was in a residential area. It was in a pretty nice area, pretty nice residential area here in Frisco, Texas, where I live. So it was a nice area, folks, and a guy got shot. And the police are still trying to solve the crime. He was shot and he was killed right near his home about 9:45 in the morning when kids were getting ready to go to school. They started school late because of the snow and the ice that we've had here. And so people, you know, kids were going to school late, and all of a sudden shots rang out. Now, the only person that was hurt was the homeowner. He was shot and killed, and it's a shame. I'm sorry that somebody lost their life about this. And, you know, I'm sorry that this happened. You know what it showed me, though? It showed me that bad things happen to good people. They just do. They do, and they happen anywhere. This was a good neighborhood. This was supposed to be a nice area. Things happen, folks. Things happen. The rumor right now that they can't substantiate yet, but the rumor is that I guess the guy owns some kind of a buy gold and silver business or something, and somebody was pissed off at him. I'm sure there was probably some bad business deal or something. Somebody got pissed off at this guy and pulled out a gun and whacked him. Folks, you know, that stuff happens. It's the world we live in. I'm sorry if this disturbs you, but you know what? Let's face facts here. Let's not put our head in the sand like ostriches and deny that this is happening. It's what happens. So where am I going with this? You need to take your safety in your own hands, folks. You need to provide for your own safety. Where were the cops when that guy got shot? Well, guess what? The cops were doing their job. They were somewhere else. They were tending to something else. It proves that the police can't protect you. The police can't protect you 24/7. It just won't happen. They cannot be everywhere at all times. And how do you know someday that somebody's not going to take shots at you when you're walking outside your house? I know some of you who listen to this show, you've been through that. You've been through that, and what an awful experience that must be. Don't let that be you. So what I've decided is I've decided to donate 50% of the proceeds that I earn from my Today's Survival Combination Preparedness and Shooting CD. See, what I did is I recorded a CD and I recorded a digital download. And basically, I can either mail it to you in CD form, or I can give you instructions on how to download it from the website. And I've combined survival and some practical shooting skills, and I talk about it. I've never covered this stuff on Today's Survival before on this podcast. It's only $15. $7.50 from every sale that I make from now through March 15th is going to go to the Second Amendment Foundation to help preserve our firearms rights that we have here in the United States so that we can protect ourselves from crazy people like this guy who did the shooting, who killed an innocent man outside of his home in Frisco, Texas yesterday. It could happen to you. I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I'm just facing reality. So if you want to make an investment in my combination survival preparedness and shooting CD, just go to todayssurvival.com. Up at the top, you'll see where it says combo CD, or you'll see the buy now button, and you can see a description of everything. All right, that pretty much wraps up the announcements. Thanks for going through that with me. So here's a quick break, just a little bit of music here as a very quick intermission, and then I'll be back on with the main topic. Don't go away. Okay, back with you for the main topic, folks. And I'm going to continue my message here about self-reliance and less government dependence. And by the way, I've had a chance now, quite a luxury when I'm on the road, to actually stop and be in one place. I'm going to take a little bit of a lunch break here pretty soon on my way to my next business appointment, but I'm going to go ahead and finish up this podcast before I hit the lunch circuit. So I'm sitting here in my car, and I'm going to share some information with you that I've been doing some research on. And I want to talk primarily some more about self-reliance being better than government dependence. Now, you might think, well, Bob, I know that. That's why I tune into your show. You know, I'm a self-reliant, self-sufficient person. I know that. Wait till you hear some of the info that I want to share with you. There's an article published, and I'm going to go ahead and link to the article. I'm getting some of this information from the Heritage Foundation. Now, again, you know, this is not about conservative politics. This show is not about conservative politics. I try to find facts. I try to find actual hardcore facts and then let you decide what the message is, okay? So I'm just going to share with you. I've done some research and I've verified a lot of this that I'm going to share with you here. So again, not a political message, just some facts, and then you make the decision yourself. But one of the major points of this article, it says that government aid only creates an illusion that the people who receive the aid are well enough off. Here's an example. You take a student, for example. A student that hires somebody to help them get A's. You know, I have to admit, all right, I did that when I was in college. I hired people to help me get A's. Did that make me an A student? No. No, it's just that I had help getting there. It didn't make me an A student, even though I hired somebody to help me get those A grades. So just like the guy that hires that A student, somebody who depends on government to fulfill their needs, that doesn't mean that they have come out of poverty, because they're depending on somebody else. The Sutherland Institute recommends to track people on how they obtain what they have. Now, here's some interesting statistics. This might shock you a little bit here. Okay? I'm talking about the United States now. For you international listeners out there, these are U.S. facts. Compare what I'm going to talk about to what goes on in your country and see if they're a little bit similar. 15% of Americans were officially classified as poor in the year 2009. Now, you get a lot of politicians out there and a lot of government officials that automatically assume that everybody agrees that all these people who are officially classified as poor live in the poverty level. Okay? But that's not quite the truth. The 15% falling under the federal poverty limits are not often quite as poor as the reporting suggests that they are. Here's what I mean by that. A lot of Americans spend more than what they make, and it ties into what I was saying earlier in segment number one. And the problem is the taxpayers are the ones that foot the bill for a lot of the people in the poor category that spend more than what they make. Again, now this is what the government is defining as poor, and I'm going to get to that a little bit later. So what this does is it perpetuates this culture of dependency and a lack of self-reliance. And see, again, as I mentioned, I think that's a big challenge today in America, is that by perpetuating this culture of dependency, by perpetuating this notion that, oh man, you know what, if you're living in poverty, we, the government, we're going to pull you out of it. It doesn't work that way, folks. It just simply doesn't. That's been tried over and over and over again, and it doesn't work. Okay? Right now, an urban family of four are classified as poor if they have an income of less than $22,000. I'll say that again. An urban family of four here living in America, they are considered poor if they have an income of less than $22,000. However, the poorest fifth of those people, all right, the bottom 20%, all right, of all the people that the government decides are poor, let's talk about the bottom 20%. This may shock you. They spend twice as much as their reported income. Now, why is that? Why are they continuing to spend that? Okay, you know, I understand that they have to live, and I understand that a family of four, they can't live very well on $22,000. Now, unfortunately, part of the problem is lack of jobs. And here again, see, the government really doesn't create jobs. Again, this is not a political message. You don't want the government creating a job. See, if the government creates a job for you, now you're more and more dependent on the government. Is that the way you want to live? We do need to create jobs, not just in the United States, but all over the world. In all parts of the civilized world, we need to create jobs. And that's a big problem. And until that problem gets fixed, folks, you know what? You better sharpen your survival skills. You better sharpen your preparedness skills. You better always stay vigilant, and you better always learn ways to keep prepared. Because until the economy turns around again to where it's flourishing, to where we have a period of prosperity, where people are back to work and putting money in their pockets, you're not going to see much change. Now, here's the problem. The problem is when people go back to work and they start putting money in their pockets, the money starts flowing out of their pockets faster than it comes in. So here you have the bottom 20% of poor people spending twice as much as they're bringing in. Interesting, huh? Here's another statistic. 43% of all of these so-called poor households actually own their own homes. And you ready for this? The average home that are owned by people, excuse me, the average home that is owned by people classified as poor is a three-bedroom house with 1.5 baths, a garage, and a porch or a patio. So you have nearly half of the people that the United States Census Bureau classifying as being in the poor or poverty category. Believe it or not, 43% of them own their own homes. And the average home is a three-bedroom house with a 1.5 bath, a garage, and a porch or patio. How is that? Just something to think about there. This will shock you. 80% of poor households have air conditioning. In 1970, only 36% of the U.S. population had air conditioning. Only 36% of the entire U.S. population had air conditioning in 1970. Today, 80% of the poor people do. Again, and I'm not picking on poor people. You know, look, folks, I want people who are poor and living in poverty, I want them to succeed. I do. I want them to lift themselves out of their situation. The government is not going to lift them out of that situation. Government doesn't work. Okay, sorry about that. Had a little bit of a distraction there. So if my sentence here, my flow is a little bit disjointed, is because I just got a business call. Anyway, I was talking about air conditioning. So, you know, back in the 70s, we had 36% of the entire U.S. population. Now we have 80% of those classified as poor by the U.S. Census. That's something else for you to think about. And there's a reason I'm going through all this, folks. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm making a point, so hang in there with me. Now, some people think that those that are living government-dependent and living poor, living below the poverty line, a lot of people think that these people are living in really terrible conditions. Not always the case. Only 6% of these so-called poor households are overcrowded. Two-thirds of them have more than two rooms per person. Furthermore, the typical poor American has more living space than the average person living in Paris, London, Vienna, Athens, and other cities throughout Europe. Let me say that again. People in America who are poor typically have more living space than people in Europe and other parts of that area. And what's really interesting is when these comparisons are made, the living conditions, the comparisons are to the average citizens in those foreign countries. So they're comparing America's poor to the average citizens, the average income citizens in the European cities. That is interesting if you really think about it. Just give that one some thought for a minute. The living space and the living conditions of the people who are actually classified as poor in America is greater than a lot of the regular average citizens in Paris, London, Vienna, Athens, places like that. All right, here's another one. 75% of poor households own a car. 31% of them own two or more cars. You got a lot of people in Europe don't own a car at all. 97% of poor households have a color TV, and over half own two or more color TVs. 78% have a DVD player. 62% have cable or satellite TV reception. 89% own a microwave. More than half have some kind of a stereo or music system. And more than a third have an automatic dish washer. So, here's where I'm going with this. What these types of facts tell us is that just because somebody is earning an income below the federal poverty level does not necessarily make them materially poor. They still have a pretty fair amount of material objects, more so than some of their counterparts in other countries that are not considered poor. So, where I'm really going with this, the grand point that I'm making here is, unfortunately, with a system of government dependency, we tend to pay people not to work. And one of the problems is when we pay people not to work, it really is harmful to the human spirit. It really is. And a lot of these people don't realize it. You know, a lot of them think, well, why should I go to work? I heard something on the news the other day. They were interviewing a guy that's drawing unemployment. Professional guy. I mean, he seemed like he really had a lot on the ball. And he's having a hard time finding a job. I think he was in the IT field or something. I'm not quite sure. But he was on the news about a week ago. He was on CNN. And they were talking to him. And he said, hey, look. You know, he told the reporter from CNN. He says, you know what? The amount of unemployment I'm getting is keeping me and my family afloat, and now that the government has extended the unemployment to, I don't know how many weeks it is, what is it, 99 weeks or below, longer than that? You know, he can draw unemployment for a year and a half, almost 2 years, whatever. He said, I have to be honest. He says, some of the jobs that have been coming my way are not paying any more than what I'm drawing in unemployment compensation. So that guy's being paid not to work, but it's harmful to his spirit. I guarantee it. Okay? I mean, there's a dignity that comes from work, folks. No one really, really enjoys being a freeloader, but we are encouraging that. Not just in America, but I think we're encouraging that in other parts of the world. People should be encouraged to rely on government only as a very, very last resort, and only temporarily after you exhaust all of your family, your extended family, your local community groups, and the organizations and the help that they can give you to get back on your feet. And certainly from a survival preparedness standpoint, if there's a disaster, I don't encourage you to rely on government whatsoever. You know, you can look back at some of the recent disasters and you can see how government has just totally screwed up the response. So with government dependency at an all-time high right now in America, we definitely have a significant problem. And the thing is there's a fix to this. I really believe that the fix to this is kind of what I was saying in segment number one. It's a revolution. It's a peaceful, silent revolution that occurs within you. And if you are a person, if you're listening to this because you want to learn to be more prepared, because you want to benefit your life, because you want to tune into programs like this and many of the other great survival programs that are out there to learn how to better your life and be prepared for what life deals you, if you're one of those people tuning in listening to this and you happen to be one of those from an income standpoint classified as poor, please hear me when I say this. Please don't depend on the government. Please try to reduce your government dependence. Please enhance your dignity. Please enhance your spirit. Soak up what you can soak up from programs like this and from forums like ours and other programs that are out there on preparedness and survival and bettering your life, and most of them have forums. I encourage you to be a sponge, folks. Be a sponge for information. You know, I tend to think that people who are preparedness people, people who are survival-minded, they're sponges for information. They're information gatherers. And then when they get information, they act. The big difference is between someone I think who's successful and someone who's not is someone who's successful can act upon the information they get. In other words, they can take action. In other words, they say, okay, I have this opportunity over here to make some money. And they act upon it. They put a plan together. Maybe they start a business. Maybe they go get a second job. Maybe they do something where there's an opportunity to go out there and they're not lazy. And they gather information. And they stay motivated, and they stay networked with other survival-minded people. I think one of the best things you can do if you're struggling right now is continue to network and converse and talk to other people who are survival-minded people. People like me, people like those on the forum. I'm glad you're listening to this show. And because we're going to pump you up, folks. We're going to build you up. We're going to give you ideas. I get emails all the time from people saying, man, you know, Bob, I've learned so much from your show. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm just a big conduit of information. I'm no expert, folks. It's flattering when you say you learned something from the show or you learned something from the forum. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's very flattering. I don't like to talk about myself, though. I don't like to talk about myself as being someone, as a person of authority, because I'm not. I'm just a person that likes to soak up information just like you, and I like to act upon it. I'm a doer. I'm a thinker, and I'm a doer, and I like to act. And it does. It helps increase my dignity. It helps increase my spirit. It keeps my motivation going. There is no way. There is no way I would allow myself to be dependent on any kind of a government entity if I could possibly help it. And so I would like to close the show with basically five steps that I believe are very key to stay prepared for anything. And I mean anything. Think about these five steps. I'm going to basically take the fundamentals and I'm going to break down some fundamentals again. And I'm going to kind of give you a little bit of a different way of thinking about this. Okay, step number one in staying prepared for anything. Outline your basic needs for survival. In other words, get out a pen and paper and just jot down what are your basic needs. Your basic needs might be different than somebody else's, but put them down and put them on paper. Remember that the longer that your list is, the more complex step number two is going to be. Step number two is after you've made your list, set up a plan to increase the longevity of the things that you require to meet those needs, things like food and water and shelter. Have a plan to increase the longevity. If you have a week's worth of food stored, folks, that's not enough. Have a plan to increase a week to 30 days, and then 30 days to 60 days, and 60 days to 6 months, and so on and so forth. Same with your water and your shelter needs and so forth, and everything that's on your list. Everything in step number one that you said, okay, these are my basic needs. Now start having a plan to increase their longevity. And when you do that, it's going to include things like protecting what you have and preserving what you have by whatever means that you deem is necessary. All right? And so when you stock food and you stock water and so forth, make sure you also ensure that your house and your car is well maintained, and that you're able to protect your property. You know, if your house and your buildings are going to store your preparations, those have to be maintained as well, because they're protecting your preparations. Your vehicle, if you're going to use that to bug out and to go somewhere in case there's some kind of an emergency, you've got to keep your vehicle well maintained too, don't you? So think about that. Step two is all about having a plan to increase the longevity. Step three, begin to network socially. It's what I was talking about earlier. Social networking can be utilized to start getting you connected with other like-minded survival type people, like the people on our forum, like the people who listen to this podcast and many of the other forums out there. I'm on survivalistboards.com. Excellent forum. That's a good resource. I also want to recommend preparedsociety.com. That's another good one, Prepared Society. It's a pretty good idea, folks, just to gather yourself a broad brace, a base of friends. I've called it before the sphere of influence. Get a broad base of preparedness-minded people that you can call friends, and get them from different backgrounds, different walks of life, and they have different, you know, experiences. By doing this, you're going to find that you'll learn many different ways of doing things, and you may not have to learn everything that there is to do if society starts to collapse around you. But you're going to learn how to do your own part for the betterment of your community and your family. The thing is you're going to learn a lot of different angles and a lot of different ways from different people's experiences. Okay, so that's step three. So we'll go back. After number one, step one, you outline your needs. Step two, you have a plan for longevity. Step three, you social network. Step four, it's time to start developing your skills. It's time to start doing your best to develop a skill set that's going to come in useful if society breaks down or there's some kind of a problem. Okay, any person can be a jack of all trades as long as you stay motivated. I did a podcast several months ago where I was actually talking about the good part of becoming a jack of all trades. See, I happen to think, it's my opinion, and if you want to disagree, that's okay. You know, set me straight. If you have a different view, that's what our forum is for, and that's what the comments section is on the blog that hosts this podcast at todayssurvival.com. I'm a big fan of becoming a jack of all trades. People used to make fun of others. He's a jack of all trades, but a master of none. So I think that's good. I think from a preparedness standpoint, that could be good. Think about that. And step number five, I'm really big on step number five. And again, I'm going through the steps on how to actually stay prepared for just about anything. I'm huge on this. I'm a big proponent. Keep your plans preserved and relax. Worrying never helps anything. Staying cool helps a lot. If you've planned and you've networked correctly, you're not going to worry much about anything for a long time. So let me go ahead and recap those five steps one more time for you. Five steps on how to actually stay prepared for anything. Step one is outline. Step two, a plan to increase longevity. Step three, social network. Step four, develop your skills, become a jack of all trades. And step five, relax and don't worry. I guarantee if you perfect those five steps, you probably will be prepared for just about anything. And so with that, I think I have communicated the message that I want to communicate today. I hope that you have gotten a lot out of this show, folks. And thanks for downloading and thanks for listening. If you have any questions, as always, I'm an open-minded guy. If you have any comments or questions, I would love to hear them. Just go to todayssurvival.com and post a comment, or get on our forum and post a comment on there, or just send me an email at bob@todayssurvival.com. So thanks for listening to episode number 130 of Today's Survival Show. I'm your host. I'm Bob Main, and you've just tuned in to a practical show, one where I hope to help you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it and strengthen your resolve. That's what this is all about, folks. It's all about strengthening your resolve. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'll catch you next time. Have a good one. Goodbye.